I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about dad shaming. Is it time to stop it? My guests are Dr. Meg Meeker. She is author of the book Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need, and David Grogan, board member for Our Blended Families Incorporated. Lines are still open. We are taking your comments and questions, so give us a call. If you're having difficulty getting through, keep trying. I promise we will get to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Daryl, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Daryl. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Good evening. This actually is Darrell.
Oh, Darrell. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No problem. Actually, I had the privilege of meeting you before I did a Thomas Johnson.
Thomas Johnson Middle School?
Correct.
My old junior high school. We didn't have middle schools back then. But go right ahead, Darrell. Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem. Absolutely. I'm familiar with Mr. Dave Grogan, too. This is Darrell Joyner, so he'll know who I am as well. I just wanted to make a comment about the dad shame. I'm actually going through it right now myself, and I just think it's such an unfair deal to go through. And I'm speaking on behalf of going through a divorce. And obviously, it's something true to saying that the parent that has the child of the most influence when the child is going to be the one that actually has, or the one that's going to have the most time is going to have the most influence on the child. And because it was such a nasty or terrible separation, which led to a divorce, I'm getting shamed as to just, you know, dad doesn't want his family anymore. We don't need him. Things like that. And just like Dave said, you know, you try to rely on the court to give you more time, and the court doesn't see it that way because they don't see what's going on behind closed doors. You know, here it is. You're a perfectly good father before the divorce or split up, and then you're faced to go through all these shameful, you know, terms and just derogatory comments, and it's really nothing that you can do. You know, everybody just says you got to wait until the kids get old enough and they can figure it out themselves. But in the meantime, I'm trying to be the best dad I can be, and I'm losing valuable time to be able to give to my son and my daughter, you know, because I have a, disgruntled ex-wife, so to speak. And so just from that standpoint, you know, I'm looking for some guidance as to how we can do better, get more support, whether it be from the court systems or just take, you know, get better, you know, information to be able to, you know, fight that, because it's a really unfair fight when it comes to that.
Go ahead, Dave, and then I want Dr. Meeker to also chime in on that.
Darrell, that what you're going through, unfortunately, is probably a lot more common than not. The only advice that I could give you is what I give every father, is to never give up. And to continue to fight for your kid, continue to show your children that you're there, because the kids are watching. And fortunately or unfortunately, children expect fathers to be Superman. Children expect fathers to be the bigger person. They expect fathers to hang in there. And when we don't hang in there, it's very, very disappointing. And that is just, it's what I've seen often. And I just tell men all the time, you always be the bigger person. You never give up. You fight for your kid. You fight in court and you try to keep them out of the fight. Now, I don't mean literally fight. I mean fight personally within yourself to stay, that I'm not going away. I'm going to stay around, because there's no worse feeling on the planet for any decent human being to be faced with what they call parental alienation. And parental alienation should be a crime if I'm not suggesting that your ex-wife is keeping your child away from you intentionally. But if a mother is keeping a child away from the father intentionally, that's called parental alienation. And it's to me, it's the worst form of child abuse imaginable.
Dr. Meeker, your thoughts about it? I'm sure that even in your medical practice, you had these same kinds of discussions.
Oh, I see it. I see it really pretty infrequently, and I'm awfully sorry that you're going through that. But I want to encourage the caller in a couple things. He said, you know, there's very little I can do. Yes, there's little you can do other than get a really good lawyer, I guess, to sort of demand time. But think about this, because I have been at this quite a long time. You know, mom can do her best to turn the kids against you from, say, the time they're 8 to 18, okay? But I would strongly encourage you not to get in the dogfight, because eventually kids do see, they admire and respect the one who takes the high road, who doesn't come back and go, oh, your mom's such a jerk, da 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 da. And remember this, you know, you may be sort of feel very separated from your kids for maybe 10 years, but you've got decades, God willing, ahead of you, where you can have a great relationship with your kids. And they will. Kids recognize true love and men with integrity and men who lead a really good life and who stick by their side, who refuse to go away, even though when they're being pounded away. And so you have to hang in there for your sake and for your kids' sake, and just don't. It's terribly, terribly hard. I believe that the courts aren't going to change for, you know, quite a number of years, because the courts are definitely against fathers, and they're for mothers in most states now for getting more time with kids. But never, ever, ever start to believe that you have less impact and less influence in those kids' lives, because you always will. Because I tell fathers this, you know, at least daughters, and I think this is true for sons, they take one man to the grave, and that's their dad. Mm-hmm. You either want more healing with your dad, always, always, or you want more time with a good dad. So this is your fight, men, and it's a good fight. And the way to win it is to rise above and live good lives of integrity, and just wait on your kids and go after your kids, and it'll work. But just don't give up.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker. Well said. Darrell, good luck to you, and thank you for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sharon, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Sharon. What's on your mind?
I want to say that I agree with the fact that women do get a lot of support. We get mentors, and our mothers bring us up to, you know, to be strong Black women. But also, on the other hand, there are a lot of good men out here. There are a lot of good men out here who are trying to fight for their kids. But at the same token, I think it takes more than that. I think it takes for women to stop. And I know I probably get a lot of this, you know, back at me. But I think a lot of women always put guys down instead of building them up, because a lot of times men don't know. They don't know what. We know more than they do. So I think that.
Know more than they do about what?
About a lot of things, like raising kids, how to, you know, just be a good father. And oftentimes you do hear women make negatory remarks or remarks about men. And to me, I just like to be able to encourage them, build them up, tell them, you know, what they're doing wrong, help them. And a lot of women out here, they feel as though, no, I'm not going to be raising another man or raising somebody else's child. But it's not about that. It's about helping them, mentoring them like we were mentored.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Well, I appreciate that, Sharon, and thank you so much for sharing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Diane. Diane, calling from Maryland. Diane, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. My concern is, and I just want to get your opinion on what I as a mother can do. Now, my son is much older. His father decided not to be involved in his life, but my son is struggling every day to make it. You know, he doesn't know how to hold a job. And by the way, I have a daughter as well by the same person. And the father decided not to be involved. I didn't push him away. I didn't tell him he couldn't have, you know, family time. My kids are grown. My son is almost 40 again. But what can I do as a mother to kind of help him? I just want to get the panel's suggestion. I don't enable him at all. You know, I push him out there and try to make him get a job and things like that. But he struggles every day with that.
Yeah, the most important thing that you can do, one, is obviously never give up on him. Never. He's your child. And just always share encouraging words and let him know that you're there. And you're there unconditionally. Sometimes we don't know some of the psychological effects of words and power in words. All you can do, especially at that age, is that just keep encouraging him, no different than if he was 10 years old. Keep letting him know that you're there for him. If there's any positive men, sometimes you have to get creative in how you bring male role models around him. But somehow introduce him to male role models. Try to get him involved. I know it's not easier said than done. But just if you can just put him around men that are doing positive things, because a lot of times it's really about exposure. Because if you, you know, for instance, Mr. Harold here, I mean, to watch him, you know, any man would watch him and want to emulate that, whether he's a teenager or whether he's a 50-year-old man.
I appreciate that. So I'll have to write you a check for that one. but I agree. You do have to kind of lead, you know, by example. And what about those role models, Diane, those male role models in church, in your family, extended family, or in your social circle?
I do. I've actually remarried to a great man. He's a wonderful father. And we have a son together ourselves. But it's something that my son is just, it seems like he's just not whole. He's not grabbing onto the right, I guess, the right behaviors. Because I do belong to a church, wonderful pastor. They take time with them, even the deacons and the elders in the church. But it's just something my son is just not, he's not letting go of, and I don't know what that is.
Well, the other piece that I forgot to mention, and something that's sort of taboo for whatever reason, we have to oftentimes take a look at the mental health also. A lot of men are in a lot, you alluded to it, but a lot of men are in a lot of pain. They're in a lot of emotional pain that they have no idea how to get help for. And that's something you may want to take a look at. Maybe you can get him in, if you can convince him somehow to speak to a counselor, a psychologist or someone, or just a journalist, that someone that can sort of help him with that. Because men are in pain. And this is sometimes why they act out.
Well, Diane, thank you so much. And good luck with the process with your son, and certainly we wish him only the best. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lennox calling from Wheaton, Maryland. Lennox, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that the young lady who called from Baltimore just the other, she touched upon something that I had when she was talking, and I was just, it just struck me, because what I was, she said, well, you know, she's, the mother knows, because she's the mother. She knows what to do, whereas it was assumed that her father didn't. And I think that's aspect of our media and how men are portrayed. I know that one of the guests has said something about, you know, Homer Simpson and everything. But I would like to go back to say, if you look at, you go back towards like the 50s and before then, when you had fathers and men being portrayed, the father, say like Robert Young and Father Knows Best, he was the dad. And while he made jokes and everything, he knew how to solve problems, whereas the mother was the one who was looked at as being the nurturer. She was the one who took care of the home and could solve their little, know, emotional problems.
She was in a support role as far as those shows were concerned.
Whereas the father was truly a leader. Nowadays, because men aren't shown in as fathers aren't being portrayed as leaders, and that sort of thing seems to be coming forward towards how we treat men in real life. It's instead of art imitating life, it seems as if life is imitating art.
Interesting point. Well, Lennox, thank you so much for that. I need to take a break. When we come back, however, we're going to talk to Steve calling from D.C., also John calling from D.C. Also, Dr. Meeker, I want you to think about this question and answer this on the other side. Do men need a PR campaign, and what should that look like? We're talking about dad shaming. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Know that I'm here for you. Oh, never
could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him. I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love her to dance with my father.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about dad shaming. Is it time to stop it? Of course, my guests are Dr. Meg Meeker, author of the book Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need, and David Grogan, board member for Our Blended Families Incorporated. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Meeker, before the break, I asked you about men, fathers specifically, do dads need a PR campaign? And what should that look like, literally or figuratively speaking?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they absolutely do. But I think that's just a small part of the beginning of the solution. I think that if we could convince advertisers to show men in a positive, strong light, fathers, That would serve our country extremely well. I work with the NFL and their Fatherhood Initiative, and I remember a year or two ago, I don't remember when it was, Pantene ran an ad during the Super Bowl. It wasn't shown everywhere, where they had three of these gorgeous, strong fathers with their daughters doing something, and it was so powerful because here are these strong men on the field being spectacular fathers. And it was a wonderful ad. Yes, we absolutely need more of that. But I think what we also need to do is we need to begin to speak encouragement to fathers and not constant discouragement. Like the caller who called, and she was very good in articulating that, you know, moms need to praise fathers and mothers need to help them. But at the same time, still sort of saying, yeah, but moms know how to do it. You know, that's sort of the undercurrent thinking. We need to encourage fathers. Women need to do this. Mothers of their children need to do that. This and speak respectfully of their fathers, of the fathers of their children, even if he isn't around. Why? Because they need to encourage the young men in their homes to grow up to be, you know, even better fathers. I do think I'm hearing, and I could be completely wrong because I'm female and, you know, and I'm a grandmother coming from a different side, but I'm sensing that there are a lot of men out there and fathers out there, because men calling in, who have no idea how much power they hold. There's this sense that they don't have this power to really affect change in either their kids' lives or in the neighbor's kids' lives. One of the things that moms have always been pretty good about is doing this sort of village-type behavior. I'll help your kid, you help my kid. I'll carpool, you carpool. If men, even just listening to this show, could begin to understand, I'm going to help that man's child, he can help my child. Oh, there's a kid over there who doesn't have a dad. I'm going to just sort of help him out, touch base with him, you know, a couple times a year, whatever, and become that role model.
Mm-hmm.
If good men out there did that to one child and another child, we would live in a different country. Mm. And fathers have not tapped into that power. Mothers know how to do it. It's high time for you good fathers to learn how to do that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Steve, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you today? How are you guys?
Doing just fine.
One of my complaints is you far too often have black women talking for black men. That's a no-no for me, personally. But then, how far do you want to go back with this black man issue and all of these barrages against the black man in reference to negative overtones and undertones? We have a history in this country in reference to all the black man at all costs by almost everyone. You travel this country and you go to certain places, and nobody even wants to have a halfway decent conversation with a black man because he's already stereotyped into wanting something, about to do something, and is a troublemaker by almost every race. So you have black females talking for the black man. You have the court system dictating to the black man. You have children disrespecting the black man. And then you have the black man himself not even walking right. So you have all of these things in reference to how awful the black man is, and then people laugh at him, no matter if he struggles. Who determines what kind of respect a black man gets? Is it him, or is it society, or is it his woman or his children? If this man is a drunk man, black man, he gets no love from nobody.
Well, see, let me see if David can respond to that. I must admit, David, Steve has given us a lot to think about in his sharing of his thoughts. Real quick, your thoughts about what he's suggesting.
Yeah, I can't say I disagree. I totally agree. But, you know, as a former athlete my whole life, I'm big into self-responsibility. And I think it's time for us to start taking some responsibility. I think we as men, you know, we don't have to drop some of the obsession with sports and entertainment and some of these other things and redirect our energies. Because like Dr. Meeker said, you know, we're not as engaged. I belong to a number of women's groups, a number where I'm the only guy lobbying for fair parenting, doing all sorts of things involved in the community that involves trying to help us. But it's hard to find men. So I think men has got to start taking responsibility. Men, we have to be our own PR people. And to be that, we've got to show that. We've got to lead by example. We have to, like she said, we have to get involved in, you know, mentoring other boys, mentoring other kids, because kids learn by what they see. And boys become men very quickly. And if they see men doing positive things, volunteering, doing things like that, that's what they're going to want to do. But if they see men simply in just basketball and football and you know, other things associated with that, that's what they're going to want to be. So I think it's up to us. I think that we have to take ownership for us and take responsibility for us and just show the next generation something different.
Steve, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. John, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, John. What's on your mind?
Yeah, she hit the nail on the head. When me being a good dad and a good man, when you know your power, you understand your position, and you know that if you don't do your part, the ship sinks. Even like you mentioned, the number one in the NBA draft guy, even mm-hmm. LeBron James, his mom was in his life as the same with a lot of these other athletes, their coaches, their male figures that were involved in their lives that made that difference to get them there where they needed to go to take advantage of that talent and put them in the right places. Even though the mom, you know, obviously did her part too, but those unseen men, but those coaches are talked about. But if you look at it, 70% of men aren't in the home. And those women are running those homes. And when you look at the way the prison system is set up, a lot of those kids end up in the prison system, end up on the streets because they don't – God set it up a certain way, that there is a man, the man is the provider and the protector, and the woman is the nurturer. And even the dad is a nurturer, too, to a certain degree. I mean, you mentioned the football commercial with the guys. They always want to show us the dad with the daughter, but not with the son. You know what I mean? So I think having those type of commercials where you have fathers with their sons is more powerful than fathers with their daughters, because it's those sons that are going to grow up to respect and raise more families with other little beautiful girls, you know.
Okay.
So that, it's so many dynamics to it. But understanding your position, I mean, as a man and as a father, once you understand that and you're doing your part, that's a powerful thing. I don't need a Father's Day. I mean, I wrote a poem called Mother's Day. Mother's Day is every day.
Well, John, I appreciate your input, and thank you so much. Let me go to Alan. Alan calling from D.C., what's on your mind, Alan?
Hi. Good evening, everybody. This is just a quick comment of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
I, too, have experienced, first of all, I'm a divorced father of a daughter who's now 26 and a doctoral candidate this fall at Temple in psych. Proud of that. But I was humiliated like a lot of divorcing black men. I remember the court system. My ex accused me of inappropriately touching my daughter when she was 3 years old. There's no defense for that.
Mm-hmm.
None. I remember going before black female judges and being humiliated. But the ultimate thing with any father, black or white or whatever, going through this, be true to yourself, regardless of all the darts being thrown at you. Be try and surround yourself with positive images, positive people in your life. Be encouraged, because it will pay off in the long. Fast forward 20 years after all this, my ex is not happier. In fact, she calls upon me to help her out in certain instances. I'm much happier, basically, having gone through that and having empowered myself. Just please be encouraged. You'll get through it, okay? And that's my comment.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. I appreciate it. Dave, real quick, I only have about a minute and a half. Your final thoughts on this topic?
Well, you know, a very famous pastor once said, a girl growing up without a father is left with a hole in her soul that she'll spend the rest of her lives trying to fill. That's something that every man should think about when you have children, whether it's a girl or whether it's a boy. You should think about what these kids are left and the fact that they could be left with a hole in their soul. And I just think that we have to, I believe, in not taking any excuses. I think we have to do whatever we can to stay in the lives of our children. I'm not suggesting, you know, fighting with the parents, fighting in court or anything like that, because I do agree with Dr. Meeker to some degree, to some extent with that. You don't want to create a hostile and hostile environment for children. But you do need to stay connected. Nowadays, you have all sorts of means just to let a child know you're there, a quick text, an email, anything. Children appreciate it. They watch you. They know character, and they'll appreciate the person that the bigger person at the end.
Dr. Meeker, 30 seconds. Your final thoughts, please.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate everyone calling in, and I think that I can't, as a white woman, I can't begin to understand what black men in our country have been through, and I never would be that presumptuous. But here's what I do know. There are a lot of men have encountered a lot of obstacles and a lot of bad things going against them that put them down. But here's one place they should always know they're wanted, and that's in their children's eyes. In every child's eyes, I don't care what the color they are, that child looks up to that father and sees them as larger than life. They see that man, no matter how he feels about himself, as a hero. And my invitation to men is just step into that and enjoy it and live it. And that's where the good life begins. And try to put some of that other stuff aside, because that child always wants to adore you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't cut yourself off from that.
There you go. Dr. Meg Meeker and David Grogan, thank you both for sharing with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, May 22nd.